You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back. Final hour. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show on this Easter Sunday. Matt Modica, George Kurtz, Pete Considore behind the glass. And now we're going to talk, maybe the only 15 minutes of talk on this network for in a week, about a little NHL playoff hockey. So Pete Considore, Matt Modica, you're both Ranger fans. I'm an Islander fan. Things didn't go well for the Islanders. And you know what? Matt went on his little rant about the Mets. I'm going to go on a little rant about the Islanders here. I don't get the Islanders. I think this is one of the most dysfunctional organizations in sports. How you could say pretty much all season long that you've been looking for a president of hockey operations, someone to oversee everything, yet you still haven't hired that person, yet you hired a new coach. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm if I'm going to be the president of hockey operations, odds are I want to hire my own coach. You know, so why, I don't know why, and this is nothing against Doug Weight. I think Doug Weight did a pretty damn good job just taking over Capuano. But I think this, once again, shows more dysfunction. How you can hire a coach before you hire the president? What if he doesn't want Doug Weight? You know, what if he wants, Ken Hitchcock, Gerard Gallant, or one of these other top names, Lindy Ruff, that are coaches that are out there? Like I said, the Islanders to be kill me. I can't believe Garth Snow still has at least 5 years left on his contract. Thank you, Charles Wong, for the gift that keeps on giving Snow. So, it's hard not to be disillusioned. But, hey, the Rangers are in the playoffs. They're tied 1-1 with the Canadiens. I actually have the Rangers winning that series in 7 games. So, Pete, we'll start with you, Pete, since you haven't gotten to talk much today. How are you feeling about your Rangers?
I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like in the past the Rangers have shown us Ranger fans that we're probably going to Game 7, at least in the first couple rounds. They like to keep us on our toes like I keep you guys on your toes. They have this thing. They'll win a game and then they'll kind of sit back a little bit. And I think that's kind of why we have those Game 7 situations with the Rangers. So I'm still confident. It's only 2 games in. You know, talk to me when we're 4 games in. And, you know, if we're down 3-1, God forbid, you know, then I'll start panicking. But right now, I'm comfortable. Anything can happen. So I'm confident with them.
I'm a bit nervous, to be honest.
Really?
They had that game. They let that go. And then what really, really pissed me off was in overtime, they were just dominated. I mean, I was shocked their overtime lasted that long. Montreal was all over them in overtime. I think that was a game you had. You got to close that one out. Go up 2-0. We haven't played very well at home. It's great seeing Lundqvist play like he's been playing, but if he comes and has a bad game, you know, if we get it to a 3-1 hole, I mean, I don't know. This is a must-win game for me.
I agree. This is definitely a must-win game.
Yeah, well, if you get into a 3-1 hole, it's pretty much all over but the crying here. I think Pete said it. I think that series is going 7 games. The teams are pretty evenly matched. Both goaltenders have been up and down this season. They need to be playing. Lundqvist had the just as he was starting to play well, got hurt. And then played, I guess, better than the team's record would indicate down the stretch here. Playoffs against Montreal is not easy. I think it's going 7 games. So, all right, let's get away from the Rangers, guys. Give me another series. We'll start once again. We'll start with Pete. What other series has caught your eye the most of the other 7?
There's 2 series that really caught my eye. The first series is the Columbus Blue Jackets-Penguins series. Penguins are playing strong, especially with all the injuries at the blue line. So that's been very interesting to see. And also, the Chicago Blackhawks-Predators series has been interesting because the Chicago Blackhawks have yet to score a goal in the playoffs in 2 games. And I find that very out of character for them.
I'll agree with Pete when you're talking about the Blackhawks and Predators. When I lived in Chicago, it seemed like every 2 years the Blackhawks would win the Cup. Honestly, the way that fan base appreciates that team, rallies around that team, it was. I mean, I would get into it too. I mean, I like hockey towns, towns that support hockey, and it's quite shocking that they've been shut out back-to-back games.
I think it's more than shocking. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Pekka Rinne used to be an ace goaltender, top 5 in the league easily. Suffered a hip injury a couple of years back. Hasn't really been the same since. Still good, not great. But to shut down Chicago twice at home, I mean, that's just fantastic. I think that's absolutely the number one series that's caught my eye. I know Pete mentioned Pittsburgh, Columbus. No doubt, Pittsburgh, a ton of injuries on defense. I think that will catch up to them. But I did have them beating Columbus this series, mainly because it's not a knock on Columbus. I think it's unfortunate due to how the NHL playoff system works that they end up playing Pittsburgh round one. I don't think that should have happened. But even if they did the 1-8 thing, which is what I prefer, they would have put them up against the Rangers. I'm not so sure how much a better matchup that would have been for them. But as for Columbus, I just think they're a year too early. I think we see this in other sports too. Young team coming into their own, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe next year will be their year. Didn't even make the playoffs last season. I like good young players there, but I think Pittsburgh, you're talking, you know, Stanley Cup champions, all these top players, even without the defense, I think there's still a major threat here. So I guess the next thing is, if you can only watch one game, you know, one series, not the Rangers, so get this out of your head, what game three do you want to see the most?
I want to see the Oilers-Sharks game tonight. That would be the biggest game for me. I know in the past I've said Chicago going all the way, but after kind of looking at it, I've had the Oilers kind of going all the way to the Stanley Cup if they play their cards right. So that series, game three, is definitely on my radar.
I like it, Matt.
Yeah, well, that Oilers game, when they opened up with the orange, everybody in orange, they sang the national anthem, their national anthem in the stands. That was pretty damn impressive. I was really into that. But one series, the game three, I'm really getting into this Maple Leafs Capitals. I mean, the Maple Leafs have so many good young players. I wish they would be up 2-0 because, I mean, I don't see Washington losing it. But I really do enjoy watching this Toronto Maple Leafs team give Washington all it can handle.
Maple Leaf Garden is going to explode on, I assume, Game 3 is tomorrow.
Yes, I think it's
going to absolutely explode there. They haven't been in the playoffs in a while.
Blue Jays who?
Maybe it's not. you're right. For a while, no one. This is the greatest thing for the Blue Jays, isn't it?
Yep.
They're 2-9, yet nobody in Toronto cares.
Not at
all. So it's actually good news for them. But I agree with actually what Matt said. It's a great story. I don't see them beating Washington. If they would have had a 2-0 lead going home, which they easily could have had, that might be different. What Pete said about Edmonton, really, things worked out well for them. They took off the last 6 weeks of the season. We know they have Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, really leading the charge there. But they played a San Jose team whose top two centers really are completely banged up. Joe Thornton probably would be on IR. If this is the regular season, he has a knee injury. Odds are there's some kind of tear there. My guess is an MCL. He can play through it, but is nowhere near the same player. I think he will return for Game 3. Logan Couture, his mouth is all, I can't say that word. It's effed up, to put it nicely. he needs I think they say he needs like 3 to 4 dental surgeries.
Jeez.
He lost most of his teeth.
Yeah,
he got hit with a puck, deflected puck for his own teammate. So, you know, he's playing in pain. You know, he only returned for the playoffs. And the Oilers are taking advantage of it there. You know, the San Jose Sharks are a heavy team, big and heavy. And the Oilers are knocking them all over the place. You know, they're taking advantage of this. So I agree with Pete. The Oilers are maybe the little dark horse there. But still, I think the team to beat out west is the Anaheim Ducks. So who do you think? Give me your Stanley Cup predictions, Pete.
Stanley Cup predictions?
Yeah.
For the Stanley Cup.
You say Rangers, I'm going to New York City and slapping you.
No. For the Cup, I actually, after, you know, thinking it over, I know in the past I've said Blackhawks, Columbus, but after kind of going over things, I actually have the Oilers versus the Capitals in the Stanley Cup.
Oilers versus Capitals. Matt, who you got?
I think the Capitals have to do it this year. I just can't see how they don't do it this year. He took my Oilers. So, you know what? I'll go with the Predators. Capitals, Predators.
No love for the Blues, guys. No love for the Blues taking care of the Minnesota Wild. Wouldn't it be ironic, though, because the Blues, they traded away Kevin Shattenkirk, their top defenseman at the deadline.
That would be a nice matchup.
Well, you think about it. I mean, everybody is rooting for the Nashville Predators in the NHL because, hey, they want the Blackhawks gone. Yeah, you know, the Predators can do that damage for them.
Yep.
St. Louis will end up playing Nashville round two. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy matchup, but hey, they're not the Blackhawks, so it's certainly good news there. And, you know, I think the team, though, to watch out for out west is still the Ducks. They've been playing well for quite a while here. They're sort of under the radar. They get a good matchup in Calgary in round one because Calgary, this is not a joke, by the way, hasn't beaten Anaheim in 29 games.
As Scott would say, that's Calgary is Corey's team.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm absolutely sure, yeah. I want to see Corey coming with a Calgary Flames hat, please.
But I mean, I agree with you with the Ducks. I was going to say Washington and the Ducks, but I just didn't want to go all chalk. So I threw a wild card team in there.
No, nothing wrong with that. And as I said, Pete went with Edmonton, which I think Edmonton's going to be such a dangerous team.
That would be a fun Stanley Cup, Edmonton, Washington.
I'll be a high-scoring Stanley Cup. You know, two teams that could skate wildly. I just don't know if Edmonton has the defense to hold up round after round after round. Like I said, I think they did get a good draw against a banged-up Sharks team. And the Sharks actually were my prediction probably a month ago until the injuries really matched up. When you get hurt, when you're hurt up the middle in hockey, it's devastating. It's sort of like losing your ace starting pitcher. That's how you control play. And it's so hard to get past that. The only series we really haven't mentioned is the one that really nobody cares about, Boston-Ottawa. Anybody care?
No, not really.
It was a hell of a game, though, yesterday. I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I was watching little parts of it, and it was very entertaining.
But it's also a series that this is what bothers me about the NHL playoff system, is that Columbus and Pittsburgh, one of these teams is going away. They're both much better than Boston and Ottawa, but one's going away. Boston and Ottawa, one's going on. That infuriates me.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I'm not a fan of this new setup with the wild card and everything. I don't know. Not a fan.
Yeah, it's a little. It's
not
a little,
a fan, Pete?
No, yeah, I'm not too much a fan of it either. I like the idea of the 1-8 kind of matchup with just points if you want to do a bracket, at least keep it interesting that way. But still, even with the Senators and Bruins, I don't think either of those teams are advancing to the Eastern Conference Final anyway. I feel like it's almost like one of those filler series that it's like, okay, someone has to play someone in round two. So that's why I really just don't care about it.
Well, the good thing
I said, I feel bad for the Blue Jackets or Penguins.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets got a raw deal. But how about that play? I meant to say something earlier about this. How about that play at the end of the game where the guy cross-checked him over the head and then knocked him out? Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, I didn't know if you guys had seen that play, how much it worked. That was Matt Calvert who did that. And I was on Twitter railing against it because for a while there, it didn't look like the NHL Department of Player Safety was going to suspend him. And then all of a sudden, I think quite a few people complained, and all of a sudden they did suspend him. The NHL, in my mind, doesn't get it. Yeah, it's Matt Calvert, all right? This is a nobody player as far as the hockey is concerned. This is not Alexander Ovechkin or any of the top players there. If it was a top player, he probably doesn't get suspended. But we heard the BS excuse that, well, you know, hockey sticks break easily nowadays. What? You broke it over the guy's head.
Carbon fiber.
You know, they do break easier. I know Pete plays hockey. I play hockey. They do break easier. No doubt about that.
But not easy.
Right, he cross-checked the guy in the head.
Yeah,
this what we're trying to get rid of in hockey?
That was a horrible play altogether. And then when he hit him
afterwards,
did that,
right.
I think that was probably worse. That might have been worse than breaking the stick over his head.
Remember, he broke obviously, by breaking it over his head, he did it from behind. The guy was skating away. He wasn't even skating towards anything. I mean, I don't get that at all. He got a one-game suspension, which is, in my mind, if you want to send the message, how does one freaking game
send a
message?
Does nothing. I actually did a rant on kind of player safety on the producers last week about the spear on Ryan O'Reilly, Crosby's spear on Ryan O'Reilly, and also Marchand's spear on Denault. It's the same play, but yet Marchand's getting two game suspension, Crosby got nothing. So I feel like the inconsistency of the player safety board plus this whole, oh, we want to send a message. One game, you're right, it's not going to do anything. What does that do? It's Calvert. It's not
The thing is, Crosby's really wasn't a spear. Crosby was the old how do you do, which, how do I describe this? He put his stick between the O'Reilly's legs and then went up.
Right.
Which, as we know, as a male, not going to feel good. Marchand was an actual spear when he tried to pretty much remove the guy's family jewels there. I think what Marchand would have came down to is his history.
Right.
He's been suspended 3 or 4 other times and been fined 3 or 4 other times. So he's had 6, 7 separate incidents. And let's face it, Pete, Matt, you guys know it. Crosby could pretty much decapitate a player. He's not going to get suspended.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the NHL does need to finally get this under wraps. I mean, there's been some really vicious plays throughout the years. The play that still remains in my mind from years back was when Dave Brown of the Flyers cross-checked Thomas Sandstrom right in the face. I mean, that was just brutal. And, like, the very next day in the Daily News, the headline was Goon Boom. Jeff Bookaboom got traded to the Rangers. But that was one of the most vicious plays I ever saw.
Yeah, I remember the play you're talking about as well. And as I go back to the 70s with hockey when there were line brawls. And I have to admit, those things are the most entertaining things ever. Just to see 20 guys out there fighting. It was just fantastic.
That I don't mind. I don't mind the fighting at all. It's the
stick. It's the cheap hits that really injure someone. That's
like Dale Hunter on, was it Pierre Turgeon that time?
Yes, after the goal in the
celebrate
series. Absolutely. Listen, I tell people all the time, I ref men's hockey leagues, and I'm not equating it to the NHL stuff, so relax, folks. But when the teams or captains sometimes ask you, listen, what do you call, what aren't you going to call? I don't care about body work. I mean, I really don't. It's stick work. When you're going to use your stick as a weapon, that's going to make my hand go up. That's going to put you in the box. You're using your body on somebody, that's hockey, boys and girls. You know, unless it's a really dirty shot, I'm going to let the body stuff go. And that's how I feel about the NHL. All this stupid crap, breaking your stick over someone's head, using your stick like a weapon, you know, the how do you do we described earlier. I think you see more of that nowadays because fighting is going away. You know, and now these little guys figure, hey, there's no one to stop me. You know, no one drops the gloves anymore. So I can get away with this all this stick work. I think that's a problem for the NHL.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. The stick is the biggest problem. That's the one thing that I don't have no problem with fights. I'm not one of those people that says it has to be outlawed. I'm more forward. I think it's better for the game. It keeps people in check, but the stick work is very dangerous.
I agree.
All right, guys, that was the only 15 minutes of hockey, well, in this case about 17 minutes of hockey, that will be on this network all week. God forbid anybody should talk about stuff that that happens on the ice. Good luck to your Rangers tonight. Even as an Islander fan, I'm not rooting against the Rangers. Listen, I just want to see a good game tonight, guys, so good luck to your Rangers in Game 3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll be back, folks, in a minute. We'll talk more baseball. We'll talk a little DFS, go over some more of last night's games. Right after this, Matt Modica, Pete Considori, George Kurtz, here on Easter Morning. So now we get a little bit more heavy metal. Not quite heavy metal, but it's getting there. Not bad. Better, Pete.
Yeah,
Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm down. I certainly like this better than some of the other stuff. Who is that, Pete?
I don't know.
I knew that was coming.
Just has a generic title with no artist.
I don't want to guess here, but I do have an idea of who it might be. But anyway.
It did sound familiar,
back.
But I... It
did, didn't it? Yes.
I
have an idea here, maybe. But anyway, we have about 35 minutes left. Easter morning, little baseball today. I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, it reminded me, you know, when you throw Gary and Thorne in the rotation, favorite breakfast cereal. What is your favorite breakfast cereal?
I tell you what's funny about breakfast cereals. Like, growing up, peanut butter Captain Crunch, I loved. And I'll buy it like every once in a blue moon, like once, twice a year. And then I'll realize how much damn sugar is actually in it. It's like, whoa. But, I mean, nowadays, I mean, as I've gotten older, it's more like, you know, Kellogg's Red Berry I enjoy. I do enjoy Kellogg's Raisin Bran. I will not eat Post-Raisin Bran. Post-Raisin Bran is garbage. People do not eat that. Kellogg's is the way to go.
I'm actually, I'm a Cocoa Puffs guy. I love Cocoa Puffs. I still buy them now. When it's on sale, I'll go out and buy a bunch of boxes. My kids eat them. You're right. There's so much sugar in there that no wonder why it wakes you up. That's a good way to start the day. You'll be flying for the first couple of hours. My God, you might as well eat a bowl of sugar. But I'm a Cocoa Puffs guy.
Yeah, so any kind of peanut butter bowls.
Not going to touch that, but okay. You go with your peanut butter bowls. I can avoid, actually, my youngest has a peanut allergy, so we don't do all that much of peanut butter here, although it's not a major allergy, just something she can't be really, just can't eat. But no big deal there. All right, back to baseball, guys. All right, so we have a full slate today. We did some panic or patience early on. We've discussed, well, As we've discussed, nowhere near all the games here, as I didn't think we would be able to. We actually got some hockey in, which I am so impressed about, because it's the only time I get to talk hockey all week, because God forbid Scott Engel should ever want to talk about hockey.
Could we go reverse here? Because I really want your opinion on this. I think there's something we need to talk about, too. The Michael Pineda game tonight, 8 o'clock, you know, under the lights, Easter Sunday night, coming off that tremendous performance the other afternoon. I mean, when you look back at Pineda last season, I think he was the 68th qualified pitcher out of 74 in ERA. But as we know, he has all these wonderful attributes that we can't stop. What are you expecting tonight is pretty much my question.
As a fantasy or a Yankee fan?
You can give me both. You can give me both.
I think, listen, we all know Pineda has the stuff, right? I mean, he has the fastball. He has the slide. He has a good break. He has all the stuff. With him, I think it's all consistency and mentality. I think sometimes he loses focus during a game. I don't think he can't ask for a better matchup tonight because the Cardinals don't look like they're interested in playing baseball right now. You know, maybe the Yankees are going to get the Cardinals out of town before they do feel like playing, because the Cardinals are not this bad a team, but they're playing poorly. So things should go well for him. He's coming off a great start, but haven't we seen this from him before? You know, he has one great start, two great starts in a row. You know, I've been protecting him a couple of times. That first start in Tampa Bay, he got unlucky. The catwalk played a part in it. A screaming one-hopper that Castro maybe could have played, he didn't. They got into the outfield, scored two runs. Either one of those two things don't happen, three or four runs don't score. And then we're talking about him having two good starts here. So I'm cautiously optimistic about tonight, but I'm a Yankee fan. I've been watching him for a couple of years now. I've seen this movie before. You know, he has one good start. You start getting your hopes up. Fantasy-wise, hey, I'm starting him. I'm claiming him. I'm going out on the waiver wire. And then guess what? He's a bust tonight. And all of a sudden, it's six runs and four innings with four walks. You just don't know what happened.
I mean, I'm looking at his price here on DraftKings in the afternoon slate. And honestly, I think you have to go with him. I've always loved Cole Hamels as a fantasy asset. I'm not in on him this year. I think Seattle is due to bust out one of these days and put up a big number. Maybe today's the day. Nelson Cruz hit his first the other night. Maybe he hits a couple today. Rich Hill coming back from an injury. I mean, it's only the blister, I should say. But that thing's been a recurring nightmare for him. And looking at the others, I mean, I don't know. I think Pineda and maybe like a Gerald Cotton day on DraftKings. Not to get all off topic here, but I wanted to see Pineda's price on DraftKings, and I think the 9,100 is warranted.
I don't think it's all off topic at all. We're talking DFS here, so why not? Now, you mentioned you're on DraftKings. I'm on DraftKings too, actually, so we're going to get the same thing here. My only problem with this is if I go Pineda and Cotton, where's my definite great start coming from? You know, I think that's my issue there. Not when you look at the slate, well, there's not a lot of great starts out there.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at the afternoon one, too, just the afternoon games. And it's just, I mean, Charlie Morton is somebody that I might take a shot at, 6,500, save a little money if I pair him with Pineda and maybe get some bats.
I picked up Morton in a couple of redraft leagues because he's throwing 97 miles an hour, crying out loud.
Yeah, no, he's honestly pitched well. He gave up runs in that fifth inning, the other outing against Pax in their rematch, but he's pitched very well.
Yeah, I'm on Morton as well here. I mean, did we talk about yesterday? Do you want to pick on Toronto right now? Dylan Bundy off to a hot start. I understand it's Toronto. It sounds bad, and Bundy's been up and down here. But isn't Dylan Bundy someone you could think about starting?
Oh, yeah. No, he's, I mean, like you said, now, I mean, you really would never be anxious about starting a lefty in versus Toronto. But, you know, different times. Josh Donaldson's not there. Encarnacion is gone. So, yeah, I would think now is the time. I think just a funny stat to throw out there to everybody. They both have like 11 innings plus pitch. It's like 11 and a third for one of them, 11 and two-thirds for the other. Hap and Pineda have like 17 strikeouts to no walks. I think that's pretty pretty funny.
It's pretty damn good. I would take that as well. I mean, that's what we're looking for, right? Don't put free runners on base. Always a good thing there. You know, you look at the John Lester at 11-3 against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's actually starting to hit now. I'm not going there. I'm not going Carlos Carrasco either. The bottom line is I don't love anybody today.
You know,
Matt Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey, I mean, as much as I'm encouraged and I'm happy the way things are going, first off, he left the last start with what the groin injury?
Right.
So, I mean, I just, Dan Straley to me is a guy you have to stack up against. And I know I had him last year. He was very good. I know he went to a bigger ballpark. I just don't think he's a good pitcher. I know he tries. He even looks at all these, like, deeper things, sabermetrics, and any way to help himself. But he's not a guy that I'm a fan of this year.
No. Today's honestly a day where I might stack up on hitting and then find the pitching. Usually I'm the opposite. I go for my pitchers first. But I might go the opposite and stack up on hitting. Yeah, and fill in. I'm thinking right now, if I had to make a lineup right now, I think I'm going Dylan Bundy. I'm going to ride the Toronto offense disappearing train here and hope they keep it off for another day. I mean, Pomeranz pitched really well in his first start this season. He's someone else I might consider. You mentioned Charlie Morton, another guy I would kind of like today as well. But I think that's the way I'm going to roll today. I think I'm going to end up going heavy offense, and then I'll work my pitching around it. It's the opposite of what I normally like to do because I want to win. You know, I want to get a W here from a starting pitcher here. And granted, if I do it this way, I'm a little shaky there. But I'm not loving anybody pitching-wise. Even the high-priced guys, I'm not loving Lester at 11-3, Hamels at 10,000. Then you get the rest of these guys are kind of cheaper. Rich Hill, I don't know how you go about DFS. I never start anybody first game back off the
table. Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that neither. You know, maybe a Kershaw type, but even then. But I will say, as you mentioned about Pomeranz, his outing the other night was I was really impressed when he squared off against Bundy. I mean, I've been very impressed with Bundy's start, but Pomeranz pitched a gem the other night in Boston.
He did, and I have been a leaguer too, so I was happy to see that. Only started this week because it was a two-start week. If it wasn't, I probably wouldn't have started him. So, yeah, you like to see that. But like I said, bottom line is pitching matchups tonight or today are a little shaky here. But listen, we have two segments left. We'll be back in a second. Matt Modica, George Kurtz. We'll talk more about today's DFS slate after this. I'm just listening to more of this techno stuff. Not bad, though. Not bad. I don't mind it.
Yeah. I spent many a time in a field back in my youth.
We're back. Matt Modica, George Kurtz, taking you to the top of the hour here. And then Tony Sincotta and Cha-Cha with Fantasy Bagels or Fantasy Baseball and Bagels, whatever it might be, where Cha-Cha's threatening to beat Tony up over his breakfast choice. And I guess they're worried about the inappropriate things with their breakfast foods. I don't even want to know. But with Cha-Cha, anything's possible.
Yeah, I want to grab some bagels from the place across the street, but I got a feeling there's going to be a line out the door, so not probably going to happen.
Sunday morning, yeah, that's
that place
go
is
well.
So good, though. I'm like addicted to it.
I love bagels, man. I'm a big bagel guy. I bought bagels for the family earlier this week. What's your favorite bagel?
An everything and an egg. Those are my two favorites. Those are my two go-tos right there.
Yeah, I'm more of a sesame guy, Poppy, assuming I'm taking a drug test the next day. Plain. You know, I asked my youngest daughter, what bagel does she want? Pink. I want a pink bagel. What exactly is a pink bagel?
Those aren't easy to get.
No, maybe on Valentine's Day I can pull that off, but can't buy too many pink bagels. So I think the last time she probably had a bagel probably might have been on Valentine's Day where they were doing pink. So, yes, pink bagels.
What are your thoughts?
All I know is this
What are your thoughts on the salt bagel?
I mean, it's too salty. I mean, I'm the kind of guy, Matt, if I buy a pretzel in the city, and I love those pretzels, I actually scrape the salt off.
Really?
Not all of it, but it's a good part. Yeah, listen, I don't want to have to eat a bagel and want to drink a gallon of soda afterwards with it.
I kind of like it with cream cheese. You know, a good salt bagel with cream cheese isn't bad neither. I understand what you're saying, though. It can be a bit too salty, but I put salt on everything.
Yeah, I'm a butter guy, so I prefer butter more than cream cheese. I said I don't mind a little salt, Matt, but I don't need it where it's covered. Where you know, oh my God, I'm gonna go into my blood pressure is gonna go through the roof if I eat this bagel. I don't quite need that. Try and stay healthy, somewhat.
Yeah, I gotta get healthy. I'm eating like I'm going to the chair.
That's an interesting.
I'll be honest.
Quite heard it put that way. I'm eating like I'm going to the chair. Well, we're gonna eat well today. I said, I know my mom's got chicken parm. We got the antipasto, we'll have pasta, meatballs. I'm not a big veal parm guy. That's my brother. But I'm looking forward. You got a roast chicken going?
Yeah, my mom's doing something with that. She's probably got all the pieces in the oven. You know, some onions sauteed on there. Nice couple, you know, some kind of juice going. I don't know what else she's got, but I'm a big peas guy. Hopefully there's some peas. I do like peas with my chicken.
Yeah, you enjoy that, Matt. Peas.
You don't like peas, eh? Little greenage, you know?
No.
We're just talking about being healthy.
I don't mind a little greenage. Well, maybe not that healthy. But I don't mind a salad. You want to make a salad? Nice. Love a good salad, but no. There will be no peas in my diet today. That certainly will not happen.
See, I like a good salad. I like a good salad, but then I'm putting in like, you know, cranberries, nuts, and you know, by the time the salad's done, it's probably not good for you.
Yeah, well, listen, a nice Caesar salad, man, with maybe a little chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
I can go with that. I'm starving here. You guys are killing. It's my own fault because I keep talking about food. So I'll blame myself. Back to DFS today.
Okay.
All right, are you going to play today?
No, I will not be playing today. I got Sundays is fab. I got my mom, the Rangers. There's just way too many things going on.
Yeah, for me to come down to, will I get home in time? You know, after this, I got some errands I got to run, hit the gym, you know, come home, get ready to go out. Do I have time to set a lineup or lineups before I go? Because I would like to play today. Give me something to root for at Mom's. But I may not. You're right. I may not have time to do the homework either to get the right lineup in there. But still, I would like to play today. So we're gonna look at some pitching matchups for today. Generally, it's overall pit matchups. Which generally, what I like to look at here as far as my DFS teams are concerned. We already discussed Michael Pineda going tonight for the Yankees, which actually may not be on a lot of your DFS slates anyway. If whether or not you get that night game, we've beaten that to death about Pineda. Has the stuff, maybe not the consistency, maybe not the brain sometimes to do it. So you mentioned Matt Harvey today going for the Mets. Yeah, I'm concerned about the hamstring. My worry always with the guy coming off the DL, or in this case coming off an injury, is, you know, can he go – what if the injury acts up? Is he going to go four innings, five innings? Is he not – you know, if it's a hamstring, is he not pushing off that leg there? Is his velocity going to be a little bit off? Does that mean the ball was straighter? Does that mean he's going to get – you know, just not have the same command he would normally have. So Harvey's going to be someone that I more than likely stay away from today.
The other reason I'd stay away from Harvey, too, is even if, say, he pitches six good innings, he's got a little bit of a lead. The bullpen has been so taxed this weekend, so I can't really even trust them neither. So I just think this is a stay-away game. You want to stack Duder against Straley or something, get a couple of lefty Met bats in there. Conforto hopefully will be in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm pretty much staying away from that, too. Baltimore and Toronto, 107 start today. Dylan Bundy, who I'm kind of interested in today. I think I would play him against J.A. Happ. How are you feeling about Happ? Happy about him?
You know what? He's pitched pretty well, though. I mean, he has given up some runs, but this is a guy that's really – I mean, if I'm in a season-long league, I'm happy to have him on in my rotation staff, whatever the hell you want to call it. Today – I'm probably going to
start.
Today I'm probably going to stay away.
You're getting a phone call from Scott Angle right now.
You know, I'll probably stay away.
Scott Angle's a big believer that in fantasy you can't call it in a rotation. It actually gets him upset. Scott has
I saw him getting upset the other day when you mentioned it to him.
I was doing it on purpose. I know it bothers him. I think about the new thing is now, I think Tony Sincotta has Cliche Friday.
Yeah, that was pretty
just
funny.
Just to drive Scott crazy.
I tweeted out to them, if there's grass on the field, play ball.
Oh, it's just fantastic. I mean, Scott definitely lets little things like that bother him. Hey, we all have our pet peeves. That's Scott. How do you feel about Carlos Carrasco? And I don't mean maybe necessarily DFS-wise. I understand against the Tigers, you're probably staying away here. But, you know, coming into the season, we were worried. He had a lousy spring training. He had some injuries from last season that Dave was dealing about. All of a sudden, light comes on, pitching great. Are you on board with Carrasco?
Well, prior to that elbow swelling up incident in spring training, I had been on Carrasco. I did have some shares. Then I got really scared about it, but said it was kind of nothing. It really went away. He came back and pitched immediately, which was encouraging. So I did go back in on Carrasco on a couple of spots. So I've been encouraged, but I want to keep seeing it because he, like I said, he pitched what, over 180 innings once in his career. You know, he's 30 years old now, so he's not like he's some young kid. I know he blossomed late, but you know, hopefully Detroit bats can lay low for another day. Carrasco can have another solid outing. I'll be a happy guy.
I'm sorry about that. Because me, I have a lot of Detroit Tigers offensive players in my line, especially my home league. So, go Tigers. Matt Boyd, he's a big guy. They were talking about as far as a waiver wire addition this week. You spending money on him tonight?
I mean, Matt Boyd's a guy that he is what you know. He's a back of the rotation kind of guy. I think sometimes people get a little too excited. You know, about these players. And the first outing was terrible, but a very nice bounce back. I'm going to avoid him today. I mean, Cleveland right now is a team I really don't want to mess with. So he's not at the level where I'm going to be rolling him out versus Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm not really up with first Cleveland. Fantasy-wise, though, redraft league, he's somebody I might want to think about picking
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. And, all right. 12 teams and more. I mean, 15 teams, definitely. 12 teams, I think he's a matchup guy or somebody that you could stash, and if it keeps getting better, then he becomes part of your rotation.
All right, well, one of the highest Vegas odds games over under line is 9. Milwaukee versus Reds, 110 start. Any chance of starting Peralta or Romano, or is this game you're going the other direction? Let's stack some Brewers or stack some Reds.
I don't think I had the... I could go out there and trust Ray, Sal Romano, whatever his name is. Willie Peralta actually talked about with Al on Friday, Al Melchior. And I just pretty much, look, he's pitched better. And he does have a very nice, you know, he's got the velo. But, I mean, can I trust Willie? I still can't trust Willie Peralta. I just can't. I know he ended the year off pretty good. Maybe if he does it again today, I'll feel a little different. But there's a reason why the Vegas has the run total very high.
The other run total that's high is Rays Red Sox, 135 start. And I'm a little surprised. I know it's Fenway Park, but not like the Red Sox have been hitting all that great. Alex Cobb versus Drew Pomeranz. We talked about Pomeranz already. You know, Alex Cobb, years ago, once again, not a top pitcher, but he was really, really good. Do you think he can become that guy again? I understand there's probably no way you're starting him today, DFS-wise. But Cobb, what are your projections on him for the season?
What I saw against the Yankees, I know a lot of people complained. Oh, he should have never came out for that eighth inning, whatever it was. You know what? The one thing I think he is doing is he's improving his trade value with each start that's impressive or good. I don't know if he's ever going to be the Alex Cobb that we once thought Alex Cobb was going to be, but I still think he could be a very solid pitcher. And Tampa Bay is hoping that he stays healthy and keeps having good outings because he's the guy that's going to get traded because I believe he's a free agent. So they're going to move him to try and get something for him.
I agree. I think that's why Tampa Bay has to operate, right? Once the guy gets up to a certain degree, it's not really going to help them. You have to move him along. I think Tampa Bay will try and trade him. They're hoping he keeps pitching as well as he has. Got a little unlucky that one start against the Yankees. The first start against the Yankees was actually very good. Padres Braves, 135. Bartolo Colon. I mean, listen, I don't even know what to think about Colon. He hasn't pitched all that well this year. He's 0-1 with a 6.3 ERA. Going up against Trevor Cahill. Is this another game where we'll look at the offense, but no chance of starting either pitcher?
DFS, yeah, no chance. In season long. In my 15-team league, I did sneak Colon in like one or two leagues. I really paid for it against the Marlins. They beat him up pretty good. Hopefully today we can get a little Easter love and the big guy, you know, doesn't produce an egg.
A little Easter love. Is that what we're looking for? Well, we'll try and give you some more Easter love as we wrap up the show. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. Matt Modica, George Kurtz. We'll be back. Final segment. Wrap it up. Get you going on your Easter off the church, off to your mom's house, off the family, or maybe just getting ready for people to come to your house like Mike Cardano. We'll be back after this. You know, I didn't hear any rock and roll here, Pete. Welcome back. Roto Rex's Weekend Morning Show. I was promised rock and roll. This sounds like a TV show.
Yes, I was about to say the same thing. It's like an introduction to like L.A. Lore or something like that.
Right, right. It's not. I know a theme song for L.A. I'm actually pretty good with theme songs, but that's that sounds like a TV show there, Pete. So we're going to have to work on Pete's music game. We just are.
I tried, guys.
So welcome back. Pete's got everything on his mind. He's got to go traveling to go with his mom. He's got the Rangers tonight. Pete doesn't know how to use a DVR yet, so it's just, you know, Pete's got a lot of problems. Happy Easter, everybody. So first of all, let's get that out of the way. Hope everybody's going to have a great day today, enjoying time with the family, friends. To me, it's always the most important thing here. I know Matt's going to Staten Island. Pete's going, I think, just staying pretty local. I'm traveling about... Not to Nassau County, not all that bad. So, Matt, I got a question on Twitter, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting one. It's from Alec Ehling, at ELG26. This is a league where he can change batters during the week. One lineup against is Monday to Thursday, the other one's Friday to Sunday. Unusual. Really, you don't see this very often, but I have heard of this. He wants to know, would you sit Trevor Story for the first part of the week, the Monday to Thursday? They only play two games, and one of those games is against Clayton Kershaw. He would sit Trevor Story for Freeze. I'm assuming that means David Freese.
Eric Gehling, huh? I believe Eric Gehling's in my one of my main event leagues.
Eric Gehling, not Young.
No, Gehling, yeah. Eric Gehling. I believe he's in my... New York, Maine, that I'm partnering with Chris Vaccaro. I'm never going to sit Trevor Story for David Freese. I don't care how hot David Freese is. You know, maybe if he was so hot, I'd play him in a great matchup for DFS or something. But, you know, that's how the NFPC goes. You get Monday through Thursday, Friday through Sunday. Like this weekend, A David Peralta guy is a guy that I benched because he's facing two lefties against the Dodgers. But Trevor Story, I'll take my beat with Kershaw, and I'm going to roll him out.
I'm going to disagree. I would sit him. I like for the reasons he mentioned. Only two games in that Monday to Thursday stretch. One's against Kershaw. Both are in Dodger Stadium there. What are you hoping for there? Freese is playing at least three games. I'm trying to see if he's playing four. They got St. Louis... Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Does he play Thursday? No. So you only get one extra game out of him there.
Yeah,
I'll take
the thing is,
Freeze.
What if Freeze only plays two games? You know, there's a good possibility of that. I don't know. I understand your logic too on it. Just for me, I think it's such a superior player. I understand. I mean, say Kershaw pitches seven, he gets out. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go Story. I understand your logic, but David Freese.
I actually understand yours, too. You never sit the better player, right? That's pretty much what we always say. But in this case, it's a Kershaw that throws me here. If he wasn't facing Kershaw, I'd be fine with starting Story. I would start Story. But Kershaw, odds are we're looking at an 0-for-3, maybe a walk. You know, something like that. I don't see him hitting a home run. It could happen, of course.
Hey, he's homing off,
but he's homing off a
Bumgarner, so...
That's right. He can only home run off aces now.
Yeah.
Pure aces. That's it.
He can't hit homers
and cores
no more.
I know, right? No cores. So, sorry, Eric. We really didn't help you there. We disagree. We went 1-1 there. But I have Trevor Story in my home league, so I was very happy, as you mentioned yesterday, very happy to see him home run off Bumgarner. Hopefully that gets him on the right track. He's walking a lot.
Yeah,
so he's seeing the zone.
That's good. And he's going to go back to cores. He'll get locked in, and he'll have one of those weeks. He'll hit like seven home runs, and everybody's going to be back in love with him.
But apparently for me, I don't think this will be that week.
Yeah,
listen.
Like I said,
all right, so let's get through a couple more games here. 1:30 Philadelphia, Phillies Nationals. I call first Gio Gonzalez. they're both getting off to pretty good starts here. Eichhoff 0-1, 1.98 ERA. Gio Gonzalez 0.69 ERA. This is a game I could look at.
Yeah, well, the thing with Gio is, I think it was last April as well. He had like four or five starts, and he was lights out. He's another guy, like, he's like a National League version of Pineda, not as good, but their peripherals and all their stuff are always going to be tantalizing. But after April, Gio was not too good. I'm a big Eichhoff fan. I don't know how I don't have more shares of Eichhoff, because I've been the guy saying he's the Philly guy to own in 2017. I'm not talking about beyond and everything, but for 2017, I've repeatedly said Eichhoff's the guy to own in 2017. I took Gazelman over him when I was in Vegas in one of my main events, and after I immediately said that, I said maybe I made a mistake. Though I do think Gazelman will be good this season. I think he's a hold. The stuff is there. He's just got no command. So that's this is a game. This should be a pretty good game. I like Eichhoff better than Gonzalez.
I do as well. I agree with you about him. I think he is going to be the best of those Philly starters right now. They have some other guys in the minors that might end up surpassing it, but I think he's the guy you would want now. Probably not going to put him up against the Nationals today, though. But I do like Eichhoff the best out of all. I think you put it perfectly about Gonzalez. He's another guy I've always expected more from, but never delivers.
Yeah, well, I think we all got teased by that one year, like back in 2012 or whatever. We were like I said, the peripheral's always there. He always looks better on paper, and why people always go back to him. Oh, look, he still has a place in people's staffs, rotations, whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, for 15-team leagues especially, even for a 12-team league. But, you know.
All right, Matt, we got a couple of lineups that have already announced so far today.
Okay,
look at that. Yeah, usually we don't get that in this show, but you know, hey, Pete, you got the Charger little song there? You know, da-da-da-da-da. He's not even paying attention. So,
Detroit Tigers, they're going to be Ranger-focused.
He is Ranger-focused. You know, I understand that. Playoff hockey, man. Game three. You know, it is a pivotal game. You don't want to go down, especially at home. Rangers have been a better road team than a home team this year, so that should be somewhat interesting. But back to the Tigers. They're going up against Carlos Carrasco. Batting first and playing second base is Ian Kinsler. Batting second, playing third base, Nicholas Castellanos. Batting third, playing first base, Miguel Cabrera. Batting fourth, the designated hitter, Victor Martinez. Fifth in left field is Justin Upton. Sixth in right field, Tyler Collins. Seventh, catching, Alex Avila. Eighth, center field, Andrew Romine. And ninth, shortstop, Jose Iglesias. Anything strike you as odd in that lineup?
No, not really. I mean, I think getting the day off, I'm happy that it's probably come back and bite me. I'm happy that James McCann has a day off because he's been hitting the ball pretty damn hard, and he's gotten off to a good start. So I'm happy as a Carlos Carrasco owner that Alex Avila is in.
Yeah, I think that's once again Sunday. We know a lot of catches are going to sit today. That's something you always have to watch out for DFS. By the way, if you're playing today and you're a newbie to it, a lot of catches are going to sit on Sunday. Make sure your catcher is in the lineup. The other lineup we have today is the Milwaukee Brewers. We sort of joked about this earlier. They're going up against Sal Romano, Great American Small Park here. Nick Franklin is leading off playing second. Eric Thames is batting second playing first. Ryan Braun batting third playing left field. Travis Shaw batting fourth playing third base. Hernan Perez batting fifth playing right field. Manny Pena is batting sixth and catching. Kirk Nieuwenhuis, boy, this lineup gets really, really sad as we go along here, is batting seventh and playing center field. Orlando Arcia, eighth at shortstop. Willy Peralta, ninth at pitcher. Like I said, man, the first thing that strikes me is that, you know, the first couple of batters is nice, and after that, it gets real sad real quick.
Yeah, well, for like in deep leagues or two catcher leagues and even the 12-team formats, Manny Pena is a guy to keep an eye on. Susak, I believe, came back off the DL and was sent to the minors. So Pena's been hitting a little lately. So if he can continue to hit, it might be his job full-time. So somebody to watch if you need a catcher. Nick Franklin leading off. If, like, Milwaukee didn't have enough mounts to feed already, he does have a nice little power-speed combo, something a lot of us have been waiting on for years. And it's Miller Park.
It is Miller Park, Great Hitters Ball. Actually, it's Great American Sports Park today. But once again, I want to thank everybody. I hope everybody has a happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
To Matt Modica with George Kurtz, Pete Considori behind the glass. Happy Easter, everybody. Enjoy. Tony Sincotta with Cha Cha next. Fantasy Bagels, or Fantasy Baseball and Bagels. Have a great day, everybody.